But first, I really hope you caught yesterday's story on NPR News about Diane Road Group Home in Mendota Heights. My colleague, photojournalist Evan Frost, spent a few months there making several visits to the group home. This is for people with severe disabilities. And he gives us an intimate look into the residents and caregivers there at an important time. The company that runs Diane Road gets 95% of its funding from Medicaid. The Medicaid program is in the mix as Congress decides whether to cut funding as part of a last attempt to repeal Obamacare. But away from the debates, take a moment to get a sense of daily life at Diane Road. Evan's work also reminds us that photos are just as important of a journalism tool as the written or spoken word. Evan Frost joins me now in the studio. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Tom. I'm doing well. How are you?
How did you come about this?
This spring when the healthcare debate was really hitting the legislature and in Congress, I was just looking for stories about how we take care of each other. I kind of scoured local media, our coverage, and other outlets, and found that I didn't see that much regarding people with disabilities and their caregivers, or at least not that struck me in a very kind of personal way.
When you went to Diane Road and said, I want to be here for a long time, I want to get photos of when good things are happening and bad things are happening, how receptive were they to that original entreaty?
Well, first I went to a Disability Matters Day up at the state capitol, and I met the mother of Sarah Ganello, one of the residents at Diane Road, who was also on the board of directors at Living Well. And it took me a while to kind of approach the board and go there and say, I want to hang out in this group home for hours at a time and really get to know everyone. And they were a little hesitant at first, as they should be when a stranger comes in with a camera.
Right, and there are rules about when, you know, HIPAA and things like that, and disclosing names and things like that. What did you learn, Evan, about how group homes work or the disability community in general when you were there?
Oh, so much. I learned that it really, it's about the relationships that are made between people. And that's, it's not about just taking care of another person in terms of getting them dressed, feeding them, etc., but it's about really knowing the details about a person who can't necessarily speak with you and having this really nuanced relationship and being able to just pick up on just personalities and the way that people interact with each other.
Yeah, and your story yesterday, you know, the if someone's not vocal and, you know, they have severe disabilities, your story starts off with caretakers noticing that one of the young ladies there just looked, something was just a little different, right? That's that's such a subtle hint that you can only pick up if you've been there for a long time.
Yeah, she was walking down the hallway, and one of the caregivers noticed that her feet were pigeoning. They were pointing inwards, and did you see she was having trouble walking, and her eyes kept rolling back. And they were able to tell that she was having a seizure and get her the right medication in minutes.
Yeah, Evan Frost is with me. The story that originally ran yesterday is on nprnews.org, and we just posted a new story that is just more photos. Frankly, you were there so long, Evan, we wanted to get a few more photos into the mix. And to that point about just seeing daily life, one of the photos is just an empty bed. I mean, it's a really pretty normal photo in many ways, but it tells a big story about something you learned and experienced while you were there.
Yeah, these group homes also serve as places where you can get hospice care. Residents die in these group homes. That photo specifically was a room in transition. A resident had moved out. Actually, had not moved out. She had passed away.
Yeah.
And another resident moved in a couple weeks later, and that was, they repainted. They took everything out of there that you see in that photo, and it looks completely different now.
What's daily life like?
It's routine. It's structured, but it's also independent. They want these people to feel like they have a sense of kind of agency. They can choose what they eat for breakfast. They can choose what they wear in the morning. But you have to be there, and you have to get six people ready to go to work every day.
Yeah.
And with the problems with the shortages in staff is sometimes you have to wake people up at 4 a.m. because you have one person trying to get five people ready to go to work.
I see.
And the staff at Diane Road doesn't want to do that. They want to be able to let these people wake up when they want, let them kind of go about their morning as they'd like to with all the help that they need.
And when you say group home, I mean, for someone who's never been in it, I mean, there are so many, I mean, there are certainly elements of it that make it look more of a facility, right? You have more you know, the walls and the facility is more disability accessible. And so that may not appear, you know, as like a home, because most of us live in homes that are not disability accessible. And yet at the same time, it has a kitchen, right? It's just a regular old kitchen with, you know, a refrigerator and things like that. So it has the home feel as well.
Yeah, definitely. Three refrigerators. Actually.
Three refrigerators, right. Evan Frost is with me. I want to talk about some more of these photos, some that were on the story yesterday, some that are on the story today, because you mentioned that the six people who live in this group home, they go to work.
Mm-hmm.
There are jobs and kind of a lane of employment that exists to help people, especially with severe disabilities, do work to fill their days and to have meaningful work. And there's just this really beautiful photo on the bus. Sarah and David are sitting in the seat. What do we see in that photo?
So Sarah and David have been living together at Dine Road for about 4 years now. And one of the caregivers there told me that David is essentially a big brother to all the girls that he lives with. Hmm. So they walk out to the bus together and they hold hands, and he always makes sure to sit on the outside seat. And then when they go to work, which is a day program where they do a variety of different activities, he basically likes to sit next to her and just make sure she's okay. And there are different relationships with every different resident. Laura and Elaine go to dance classes together. New resident Jill is now going to work, and she goes with another resident, Jimmy. And Jimmy follows her around to just make sure that she knows what to do.
So chivalry is not dead. Evan.
No,
that's the
not
important.
At all.
That's the important thing. There's also another photo of Sarah, and she's fallen asleep, and so she sits in a wheelchair. Is that correct?
Sarah can walk with assistance.
She can walk with assistance.
Yes.
Okay, so she's just in a chair here. It's a close-up, so I didn't know if it was a wheelchair or just a regular chair. And she's fallen asleep just holding someone's hand. I mean,
yeah, she's holding one of her caregiver's hands.
It's just a moment that you caught. What you came away how did this story change you? Because you usually are the, like most photojournalists, you go out on the day's news. This thing happened, go take a photo. Maybe you go back twice on some featurey stories, as we call them here in the newsroom, but you actually really dived in here and went several times. You came away differently. How?
I learned to slow down a lot and just be there and be able to sit in a living room for 3 hours and just let things happen in front of me. This project took so long because when you step into six people's home, they have to be comfortable with you being there, and that just means spending a lot of time. And about 3 months in, I noticed that people, they started to like having me there. Hmm. I was in the bathroom when a caregiver was brushing Sarah's teeth, and David came up behind her and just gave her a big hug, and the four of us just stood there laughing for 10 minutes. And it was just really learning to be around other people in their most intimate environments.
And you don't get into this a lot. I mean, your focus, Evan, was more on just capturing this moment. But it is worth noting that the company that runs this group home, that runs several others, a few dozen here in Minnesota, they're definitely following this debate in Congress because so much money comes through Medicaid.
Yeah, like you said, about 95% of their funding comes through Medicaid, through a voucher system, which is rather complicated. But any more cuts could make it even harder for them to pay their workers.
And you talk also in your story about the high turnover of staff, and that's why, because they don't get paid a lot, or is it because it's just really hard work, or all of that?
Well, this job has no state certification, so anyone can really step into it. And a lot of people, they get this job and they come and they don't realize how physically and emotionally draining it can be, and it is very hard work.
And you also note if someone calls in sick, someone else might have a 24-hour day, because does someone have to be there 24 hours a day?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And they have a separate room that caregivers can go and take a little nap in.
Take cat naps, yeah. For sure. Well, it's the Dine Road group home in Mendota Heights. Certainly not the only group home for sure, but a place that invited Evan in for several months. I just tweeted out the latest iteration of this story. It's a few more photos that didn't make it into the original story. So if you follow me on Twitter, WeberTom1, you can see the photos there, and we just posted them at nprnews.org. Evan, great work, and thanks so much for joining me here today.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.